So Parami here, Southern Hemisphere this time. Just coming to the end of a Dharmacharini retreat for Dharmacharinis from Australia and New Zealand. We're in New Zealand, we're at Sudarshana Loka, just a bit south of Auckland, an hour and a half or so south of Auckland, near Thames, where there's also a thriving little Sangha. So been 22, 23 Dharmacharinis on this retreat. We've been studying Asanga's Bodhisattva Bhumi, the Bodhisattva precepts, which are part of our history because they're precepts that Bhante studied with Dardo Rinpoche in the 1950s when he took his Bodhisattva ordination from Dardo Rinpoche. So as well as studying, the people have been meeting in small groups, we've meditated together, done puja together, and yeah, it's been very enjoyable. There's been people here from the Sanghas in Sydney, in Melbourne, Canberra, all coming over from Australia. And then from over here, we've had people from our Sangha in Auckland and Wellington, and Shimani from Dane and Craig. So it's been good. The women down here on this retreat, a lot of them have been ordained together. They've trained together for ordination. So they know each other well. And it's always lovely to come. This is the fourth Dharmacharini retreat I've done in the Southern Hemisphere. And some people have been in all of those retreats, which has been delightful, building that up. And some are here for the first time, either because they're newly ordained, well, ordained in the last 2 years, or because they haven't been able to come to previous ones. So, and also quite a few of the women on this retreat this time were at Bodh Gaya in February of last year for our International Order Convention, so it's had quite a reunion feeling to it, and that's been very enjoyable indeed. So as they were just coming to the end, people are doing the clear up, we're washing, you know, things are all being made to look spick and span for the next event. The next event here in Sudarshana Loka will be an area meeting of chairs and order conveners and preceptors from this Southern Hemisphere. So that starts tonight. Got a little bit of a day off through the day today just before, well, people leave and other people arrive. So I'm just going to ask a couple of people how they've enjoyed the retreat. And also then we're going to close with a Maori song, which somebody will translate before we actually sing. Actually, we're going to be taught to sing it, so who knows what that will sound like. But people sang it yesterday and I thought it was so I'm sitting here with Charanetri, who's from a Melbourne Sangha, or rather from the Sangha close to Melbourne. So do you want to say hello, Charanetri, and
hello.
Tell us how you've enjoyed the retreat?
I've thoroughly enjoyed the retreat. It was on one of my favourite topics of ethics. Mm. I'll take a lot of things back home with me, and I've got to say that I'm a bit of a fan of metta as well. So to me, ethics and metta, what I'm just going to take back with me.
Great. So this was your first time on retreat here at Sudarshana Loka?
This is my first time on a retreat, although I did visit here back in 1998, I think it was, when Barbara Lukaszek became Vimoksha Lay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and she had her public ordination here. Hmm. So that's a long time ago.
And as a retreat venue?
I really enjoyed it. I must say, I really did enjoy it. The scenery is stunning, particularly coming out of the shrine room. And you see that incredible V shape ahead of you where the bay and the trees meet. And it's just extraordinary.
Great, yeah. And anything particularly you're taking home with you from the retreat?
My deepening connection with the Dharma. I feel like Shraddha is speaking very, very strongly to me. So that's what I'll be taking back, is just more faith.
Gorgeous.
And trust in the Dharma, and certainly within the Tree Ratna Buddhist community.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much. And you're going to have a little holiday before you go back to Australia?
Indeed. Shimani, Vimitanandi and I, Charanetra, will be heading off, spending a few days together in a place called Lake Taupo, And then the three of us will be going to Vara Davies' place just near Wellington, staying with her for a few days, and then back home to Melbourne.
Great, we'll have a great time, and actually hopefully I'll see you in Melbourne.
I very much look forward to it. Great. Thanks, Parami. Thank you.
I'm beside Navachitta, who's a very dear old friend of mine that I've known for a long time. And Navachitta's part of our Auckland Sangha. So, how you doing?
Fantastic. It was a wonderful retreat. We really enjoyed ourselves. And it was so harmonious. We had 22 people. And it seemed very, very spacious. So, and harmonious. Everybody just kind of floated around each other. And Parami's leading was wonderful.
Thank you. I can hear a vacuum cleaner coming our way. Shall we go and move slightly? Let's go outside, then I can ask you a bit about the scenery as well.
All right.
Okay, so outside in the sunshine, hooray. I like the sunshine. So,
at last, blue sky.
Blue skies. So tell us what you're seeing as you look round here.
Okay, so it's just a
set the scene.
It's a vista of green, and Taranatha used to call it the realm of Tara, and there's so many different greens, and I think for the Aussies that come over, they just completely astonished that such a colour exists, because their main colour's brown. But so what we have is blue, blue, blue sky, and we have this extraordinary green, and we're also in a place that has been cared for very, carefully.
It's been well looked after.
So it's the thing with Sudarshan Loka is you either go up or down. It's not easy to go across. But despite that, it's a lot more comfortable than it used to be when I first started coming here.
Yeah, I see massive changes. I've been coming here. I think the first time I came here was 8 years ago. And, a lot of work's been done on the place since then. It's quite different, So much more comfortable.
You don't get that sense of, oh, gosh, we have to go to Sudarshan Loka
again. Well, your heart sinks.
Your heart sinks, because now it's, like, doable.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's so aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
And you just feel like this project is such an important project. That stupa up the top with Dada Rinpoche.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that, because you've got quite a connection with Sudarshan Loka, haven't you, over years?
Well, I was on the stupa project, so I used to cook under impossible conditions in the middle of summer with a stove, one stove for 30 workers. And it was, you know, we didn't have aircon or anything fancy like you've got in the Northern Hemisphere like that. But, and we just wondered often whether it was going to actually, we were going to pull it all together. And now it's just up there as this beacon of inspiration that we can, you know, no matter what happens, we can't let this place go. So we are running as many retreats as we possibly can to actually familiarise this small country of 4.5 million people with...
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Only 4.5 million in the whole of both islands.
I think it's even less than that, actually.
Wow.
I might be getting mixed up with how many sheep there are. But we've got 1 million in Auckland, so it's a very...
A million sheep?
Well, we used to have 80 and, like, because we've got so few people in the population, it can really be a well-known centre in this whole country. So we need to raise the money to complete this project. So that's where a lot of people's hearts are going to be.
Yeah, great. So this is going to go in the Buddhist Centre online. I'll post it up later in today. And so hopefully people from all over the world will listen to this. So we're down in this corner of New Zealand, which is, you know, quite a long way away from where there's a lot of Sangha people. You know, you've got quite a small Sangha overall in New Zealand, haven't you? So any messages you'd like to send up to the Northern Hemisphere, who are in the frozen north at the moment, still winter for the Northern Hemisphere?
Well, I've got a T-shirt on. Parami doesn't quite trust that it's summer yet. She's got a cardigan on. I got a T-shirt on. We're basking in the glorious sunlight. We've got a little river, and we've got a big swimming hole, and we've got you crawling behind the waterfall. So it's very, very special. So the message is come over and see it for yourself. Book retreats here.
Mm. Solitary retreats are good here, aren't they? Because there's great solitary facilities.
There's, I think there's, have we got five solitary huts now? Mm. And they're very beautiful there.
Mm.
You've got solar power as well as compost toilets, so it's very eco, obviously.
Mm. Mm.
But it's doable as well. It's not you're not going to be in hardship by coming here, and you're looked after very well.
Mm.
So there's the solitaries, but also the project is so important because we've got Dada Rinpoche up there. Mm. Like they say, the stupa is Dada Rinpoche.
And Bhante's been here. Sangharakshita has been here, hasn't he? He dedicated the stupa.
He did.
Many years ago now. In the 90s?
I can't remember the date, but yes, places in which the Bodhisattvas
have been. Yeah.
Yes, it's very, very special.
Mm.
And, you know, I think we need to look at Sudarshanaloka as the jewel in the crown of the tree Ratna. Buddhist, it's not Adhisthana.
It's the Southern Hemisphere's crown.
All righty. It is. It so is.
And Navachitta, since I've got you here as a captive interviewee, do you like to tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing these days in Auckland with the Buddhist Recovery Network? Which is quite a project, isn't it, that you've been working on now for a couple of years?
Well, I've been working on the Buddhist Recovery Network for about nearly 3 years.
It's nearly three, gosh.
But the plan to get something like this underway was about 13 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And that's when I went and decided to get my Bachelor of Alcohol and Drug Studies at the university, and then I've been working in the public health system since then to just make myself a reasonably professional clinician. And then I broke away from that particular mould because it was very stressful, but also because of the vision I had to bring the Dharma to people who are suffering from addictive behaviours. So it started with me and a guy called Eduardo from Brazil, week in, week out, month in, month out, the pair of us, that was it. But I was not going to give it up. So eventually we got two or three people coming, and then three or four, and then four or five. Now, the meetings, we have two meetings a week, and the first meeting on the Sunday, the big meeting, is anywhere between 20 and 30 people.
Wow. This is in the Auckland Buddhist Centre.
It's at the Auckland Buddhist Centre. So it's under the auspices of the Auckland Buddhist Centre. Mm-hmm. So it's not a breakaway project at all, because I'm on the Auckland Buddhist Centre Council as well. So they help fund some of the projects that we do.
Oh, great.
And we've already got a mitra, and we've got two mitras.
That have come through?
Yes.
The group?
Yes.
Fabulous.
Yes. And two mitras pending. There's one guy that I've decided he's just actually going to miss the mitra system and probably the ordination system, and he'll just go from being a friend to being Buddha because he's an extraordinary human being. So it's like working with these extraordinary human beings who have, you know, that very strong destructive side, but to the extent that they're destructive, to that extent they can also be creative. So
there's a lot of energy there for practice. Yeah.
And we take them on retreats. So we have three retreats here at Sudarshanaloka a year, which they love.
Good.
They love pujas. Mm. They love, and they're very, very, very still in the shrine room because they've touched on real suffering. They know what real suffering is, so they're able to recognise real alternatives.
And are you networked in, because around the movement now, there are quite a few people who are in recovery anyway and are bringing their recovery into their Buddhist practice or their Buddhist practice into their recovery from alcohol or other addictions. So are you networked in with any of the other people around the world?
Loosely. The Buddhist Recovery Network itself was formed as an umbrella organisation formed in the States, and they've actually had two conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of hooked in with them to some extent. Uh-huh. But I am connecting with people like Vilma Sara, and I spent a bit of time with Parama Bandhu at Buddhaya, and aware that this is going on. But actually, you know, I'd really like us all to meet up and get a bit more strategic about.
Yeah, maybe what we're on an international convention sometime or something like that.
Because
great.
The other thing I'd like to say is that we have a lot of under 35s coming along
this.
Like I counted at the last meeting I was at two Sundays ago. We had seven under 35s.
Great. Yeah, I was at a day in the London Buddhist Centre, which is run by a couple of order members there, who are both in 12-step programmes. And they run a day which they call, I think it was a day retreat for people already in recovery. So it wasn't an alternative to 12 Steps or any other recovery programme. But to come along on it, it was people who were already in some form of recovery programme. And I can't remember how many people were there, but I was quite struck by that as well. There were quite a lot of younger people in that as well. So maybe people are catching their addictions younger and they're also looking for a way out that's spiritual.
Yes.
And that Buddhism can provide, the Dharma can provide that spiritual framework and that background for them. So,
and also the people who have reactions against God and higher power, the hierarchy, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So. Well, fascinating topic, really. Thank you for telling us a little bit about that. And what do you go back to now after the retreat ends today?
I go back to a Buddhist Recovery Network meeting.
Oh, okay. Because it's a Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it is. So you've got your group tonight. Great.
I'm really looking forward to it. Because nice. I miss them. I'm like a little mother hen. My little chickens.
Great. Oh, I hope it goes really well. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Paramy.
So now I'm sitting with my friend Dharma Modini, who I met in England quite a long time back now. And Dharma Modini, you've just recently moved back to Adelaide in southern Australia.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. My hometown where I was born, grew up. And, then I left actually for about 14 years or something. And just towards the end of that period, I came across the Dharma and Sri Ratna in England, in Bristol.
Mm. Mm. So quite a journey.
Yeah, quite a journey. Yeah. Quite a journey.
And you were in Birmingham for a while in England?
Yeah. Well, I came back to Adelaide after I'd come across the Dharma in the late 90s. And there I was, you know, the only Sri Ratna person for hundreds of miles and got on the mailing list of Sydney and Melbourne centres. But it was probably just under a couple of years before I met anyone in Australia connected with Sri Ratna. And there began a series of years where I'd get on planes and fly to Melbourne or Sydney to be on retreat with my fellow Dharma sisters, generally, the women's retreats. And then I came to England to do the Dharma Dudu because I was trying to figure out how was I going to deepen my practice. And that came into my orbit and I thought, maybe here's my opportunity to go deeper and immerse myself, and then I can bring that experience back to Adelaide, because I'd always had this sense of you can practice the Dharma anywhere. And actually, probably without me even knowing, it was going deeper and deeper in me to have this sense of Sri Ratna being a choice for people in Adelaide, in my hometown in South Australia.
Then you were in Sydney for a while when you first
came back.
Yeah,
because I came back to Adelaide and that was all well and good. But as I got further along the path, so to speak, I think I came into a real appreciation of the Sangha jewel and just realised that I needed to be amongst other practitioners living on a daily basis to really go deeper. So I made this other big decision and I moved myself over to the East Coast, but it was only ever, it was very clear to me, I wasn't moving to Sydney, I was moving myself into Sangha, and however long that might be. And as it turned out, it was 4.5 years. And in that time, I became ordained in the beautiful Golden Bay in New Zealand. And, just sort of more or less 2 years later. Actually, it was on my order birthday. I got in my little car and headed west for the, 1,500K back across to Adelaide. And that was 8 months ago now, coming
Fantastic.
Up.
And how is it for you living there?
Oh, look, I just love it, because for me personally, there is some deep connection within about that land and sea and sky there in South Australia. And I'm very happy to be back in those conditions. I've reflected since that I think I was being nurtured by the Dharma without me even realising it, actually, pre-coming across the Dharma consciously. But also there is another order member there, Ratnadaka, who's English, but his wife is originally from Adelaide. And although they met in the Cambridge Sangha and grew up there, so to speak, they're now back in Adelaide with their two children. And it's just a wonderful coming together. He's very committed with full-time work and family, but equally committed to the Dharma. Great. So between us and our different approaches, different personalities, different time availability. We're sowing the seeds and they're flourishing.
Great. So you're doing some classes?
Yeah. We actually rode on the back of the Dalai Lama's visit to Australia and to Adelaide. He hadn't been there for over 20 years. And we used that to promote the Life with Full Attention course that I did in July and August. And really, it's flowed on from there.
Oh,
when we concluded that, we decided, right, time to step up to the mark and offer weekly Sangha night. So we've been doing that since September. And we just very spontaneously, naturally, organically growing. We did our first weekend retreat in November. And we had our end of year full moon puja before Christmas with 15 people.
Oh,
I could confidently say that's a number that Adelaide Tree Ratna consists of in the present, moving towards 20.
Great. Well, you and I had a little chat earlier on in the retreat and you were telling me about some of the things that you were doing. So I found it really inspiring and I just want to wish you well. And
thank you.
You and Ratna Daka.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope I can come and visit at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great to think that there's a thriving Tree Ratna presence growing there.
Yeah, and whatever happens is what happens.
Yeah,
but in the present,
the seeds,
it feels very vibrant and...
Fantastic.
Yeah,
well
we're going well.
Great. We're just at the very end of the retreat, and we're going to all say... We're going to do a transference of merits in a minute, but before that, we're all going to sing a Maori song that Surya Gita has just taught us, and Navachitta. It seems quite a few of the Kiwis here know this. So, Navachitta, why don't you just tell us what it means and then we'll all sing it.
Well, loosely it means with love, with faith and with peace, let us all proceed.
Gorgeous. All right?
All together.
I'm down in Thames, which is the small town closest to Sudarshan Loka. Very small town. And
village.
Small town. I'm sitting with Kate, who's a Mitra in the Sangha here, who's training for ordination to Tree Rat. And I'm sitting in the garden in the sunshine in her cafe, Sola Cafe. Hello, Kate. So do you want to tell us a little bit about Sola?
Sola, right. This cafe is, we've been running this cafe, my partner and I, for about, we're into our 12th year now.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we wanted to set up a cafe together, and I'm also a craftsperson, I make jewellery, so we thought we'd find a small town that needed a good cafe, but it wasn't going to be too busy so that I could, in the winter, still do my artwork and we could just run it, myself and my partner and my sister, who came as well. And, Claire got a small inheritance from the death of her, after her father died. So with that, 50,000, we set up solar. It was just an antique shop before this.
Okay.
And so we went to lots of fun auctions buying cheap second-hand furniture. And I thought with it, I've been a vegetarian since I was about 12, so I couldn't imagine not having a vegetarian cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Waikato, so it's actually a farming community. And I felt sure that we'd just be quite quiet because we were going to be vegetarian and it's a small town. But we kind of underestimated the town's need for a good cafe, good coffee. Mm-hmm. And they just decided to overlook the vegetarian factor. In fact, a lot of people, even years, 2 or 3 years later, said to us, "Oh, are you vegetarian?" Like, they hadn't even clocked that it was vegetarian, because we decided not to put it on all the signage initially so that people would come in the door and give it a try. But I feel really sure and happy that I think we've actually educated people quite a bit about vegetarian food being possibly, you know, something they could consider comfortably trying in their lives without.
Well, I've been popping in and out here now for a few years on my way up to Siddharth and Luka, and it's always very busy.
Yeah.
So especially around lunchtime, which is about now, well, coming up to lunchtime. And, you know, there seems to be a really nice atmosphere. So you got quite a lot of people working here now.
Yeah, we do. We oscillate in the peak season. We usually have about 12 staff, and then we go down to 6 or 7 in the winter, halve it in the winter.
Great.
Yeah, so it's a seasonal cafe, but it also feeds the wider region, like the Hauraki Plains.
Mm.
And that's why we chose Thames initially to open the cafe, because there's a wider community that it feeds.
Mm.
Whereas if you go further north up the peninsula, really dies down over winter, down to very little resident community.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
we wouldn't have survived so well in those conditions. Mm. But,
and next, almost next door to here, there's Lotus Realm.
Yeah, I'm very pleased about that, because I feel, well, a personal connection to my friends working there and it being Buddhist, because...
So tell us what Lotus Realm is.
Lotus Realm... Do you want to go somewhere quieter? We can move to the staff table. Shall we do that?
Yep.
Pause it for a minute.
Yep. So we've moved a little bit further out in the garden because, nice for you, a whole family arrived, which suddenly made it a little bit noisier. So you were just going to tell us about Lotus Realm?
Yes, Lotus Realm is a retail outlet selling Buddhist gifts and musical instruments. They bought a music supply business from someone about 3 years ago, which has been going really well, because it's the only supplier in terms to the musicians in the area. Yeah, but they are basically a right livelihood business.
Tree Ratna,
yes, and I get a lot of helpful advice from them for my own business.
Mm.
My staff are not, none of them are Buddhist, but I try and run the business as along the precepts as far as I can. And the staff, I think, a testament to that a lot of them have been here almost from the beginning. So, they tell me that they really enjoy working at solar. So I think the energy that the business has a lot to be grateful for the connection with Buddhism. Yeah, through our neighbours and through me. Yeah.
Great. So there's yourselves in here, and then a couple of doors along we've got Lotus Realm.
Yep.
We've got Siddharth and Aloka 5 minutes away in the car, And so that's starting to build up into quite a thriving little Tree Ratna kind of scene here in Thames.
That's right.
You've also got classes. We've only got 1 minute left there. Tell us something about the classes.
We decided Lotus Realm used to have classes at the back of the shop. So we decided once they got big enough that we'd try and have our own premises. So now Thames actually has a little Buddhist centre as well, and I teach yoga there. We rent it out to other bodywork people, and we do meditation classes and have our study nights there. And
There's a few mitras, yeah?
There's a few mitras. We're all GFR mitras now, so there's six of us. Yeah, six of us. Yeah.
Great.
Which, that's all just happened in the last 4 or 5 years. So.
Well, I really wish you well with that. And it's lovely that as I've been coming over the years just to see